Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullip, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning. It is Thursday, January 7th, 2021.
Yes, it is.
Our first program of the new year.
Right.
Yes. So, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I haven't seen you in...
I know.
Forever.
I've missed you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like black coffee and Scott. Oh, look. We were wondering that somebody would tell
there
us.
There they are, because we wondered what the week was.
Yeah.
43.
43.
And it should be week one. It should be week one, but it's not.
So. But
thank you, calendar queen.
On.
Yes.
The band plays on.
It does. And does. But here mm-hmm. we are. And we're back with you. And again, this is our new schedule. For the new year, we're going to be here on Thursdays, yes. Every Thursday, with this program. We're still tweeting and Facebooking and sharing other important posts during the week, but we'll get together on Thursdays here at 9 a.m. on the Facebook and the YouTube and the Twitters, and then, of course, rebroadcast on the radio at 5:06.
Yes. So
the kids call it the Twitters.
Do they?
Sure.
I don't know. I haven't really talked to a lot of kids lately, so.
Me neither.
Yeah.
But go with it.
Go with it.
Yeah,
so,
thanks.
Yeah, so it should be jam-packed Thursday shows.
Yeah.
Get a lot of bang
thinking
for your
quality
buck.
Over quantity.
That's right.
That was the reason.
And as it drags on, we're also thinking that people might start getting tired of our faces.
I don't know. Really?
Your face?
No, definitely not my face.
But, not my face.
Yeah, no. But speaking of people and
yes.
quality, these
yes.
are our guests today. We have Dr. Robert Underwood coming on the program in just a few moments. He's the Chief Medical Officer at San Juan Regional Medical Center. And Mike Mestis, the San Juan County Emergency Manager, is going to be coming on today as well to talk a little bit about vaccine rollouts and how that is all being handled here in San Juan County. And, you know, New Mexico, I believe, has been kind of touted as doing pretty well among the states of getting the vaccine out to our frontline workers and
yep.
nursing homes and those folks at the very top of the list.
Yep.
So that's, I think, been good. But in the meantime, we'll go through some of the other things we'd like to share,
yep.
like other information about testing and some of the news that we've been made aware of in the past week or so. And so let's do that. The testing schedule is up, and they seem to be, at least this week, they were Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And that may still be from a holiday schedule. We'll see if that picks up next week, but we haven't seen next week's schedule yet from the Department of Health. But we can tell you that there is testing tomorrow at McGee Park, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. So you can go out there, of course, for the free COVID test also, and that is kind of still the nasal test, which is there's a different name for that. There's a more fancier name for that.
Well, that would be just the nasal test.
Okay.
Because
the other one
you're thinking
name.
About is the nasal pharyngeal. But
that's
further up. That's the worst, and I don't
okay.
know how much they're even doing that anymore.
Okay, maybe they're not yeah. doing that. But then we have the saliva-based test
yeah.
is the other one that they are still doing out on Kirtland, right, at Judy Nelson Elementary School, and that is happening, I believe, still every day, 10 to 3. So mm-hmm. That is still happening out there, and there is the map for our video viewers who are watching us to see kind of how to get into that location, but that is kind of at the school out there in Kirtland, so you can mm-hmm. check that out. And take advantage of that. The numbers that we haven't seen now in a few weeks since we've been away, but here they are.
Here they are. So the U.S. confirmed cases are now at 21,307,125. United States confirmed deaths are at, it's a little fuzzier today. It's
is
at
it?
361,312.
Yes, there it is. So keeps going up.
Yep.
And going up a lot. Faster, I think. We're still seeing almost record daily cases, aren't we still,
mm-hmm.
across the country?
Yep.
So I know Southern California is just crazy big cases
yep.
coming in. So
they are.
So there's that.
Yes.
And let's see, this one I'm gonna take that down because I'm gonna update that. So we'll do that after our first interview. How's that?
Great.
We'll come back and do that. But let's talk to our first guest, shall we? I think we're ready.
Great.
To go.
Let's hear the doc.
Look at the phone. Dr. Bob Underwood.
Remember, we talked to him yesterday.
We did talk to him yesterday, but it is still relevant information.
Yes.
So here he is from San Juan Regional Medical Center. Joining us now this morning to talk a little bit about the numbers at Salem Regional Medical Center and some of the other things that have been going on since we've been on the air. Dr. Robert Underwood is joining us from the hospital. Dr. Underwood, good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Megan.
Morning. So why don't you give us an update on the current status of our census and what the trend is over there?
Sure. And so what we're seeing is some still very high numbers as far as our hospital is concerned. Our current census is 170, which is a lot higher than it normally would be. We've got COVID positive patients that are either COVID positive or they're still waiting for a test result to come back. Our ICU has 13 patients in it. We only have 14 beds in our regular ICU. Those are all now COVID beds. 9 of those patients are currently on ventilators. So very, very high. We've actually doubled up on some of the regular patient rooms so that we have multiple patients in single patient rooms just because we need the space. So that's something that we're experiencing. What's been interesting is I've been on 3 different state level calls so far this morning. The rest of the state is feeling significant decreases in the number of COVID patients. Now everybody is anticipating that we will see a surge over the next week to 10 days because of the Christmas holidays. There's usually a delay in the lack of social distancing and what impact that has on the number of cases. We saw it after Thanksgiving. It wasn't as bad as we thought it might be. We're expecting the same type of thing after Christmas. We'll see how bad this is. I've had actually personal, not me and my family, but personal friends of mine that have had impact because of visitation during the Christmas holidays. So we don't know what we're going to see around that, but we do anticipate seeing some numbers go up.
Yeah, that's concerning. And so if the rest of the state is doing slightly better with their census, would this be a case where we might start transferring our folks to other places, or just given the speedy of the virus?
It is something that is always open, and it depends on kind of the type of patient. ICU patients, often we would transfer those if our ICU gets overly full. Now, one of the things that was also said was that even though the COVID numbers may be going down, the total patient volumes are not necessarily going down. Very interestingly, it was highlighted that there were a number of trauma patients that were actually transferred into the University of New Mexico for ICU care and other care over the course of the last 24 hours or so. So it seems that we may be improving in one area, but we're feeling some strain in some other areas.
Interesting. And so, Dr. Underwood, it sounds like we are nearing capacity at the hospital, and so you know, that concerns all of us, obviously, and we know we've talked to you and others about the hospital still being open and encouraging folks to still go and see their primary medical provider and all those services that still are ongoing. You still have to treat these other patients in addition to these COVID patients, right?
Yes, absolutely. We have a few slight restrictions right now. We're not doing elective surgeries if it will require an overnight stay in the hospital to try to preserve that inpatient bed capacity. That really seems to be where the strain is right now, is that inpatient bed. We do have, you know, of course, staffing is one of the things that is strained in these types of circumstances. Over the course of this week, we have a number of traveling nurses. These are nurses that have licenses in multiple states, and then they can come and kind of work as a locum tenens type temporary position. We have quite a number of those starting this week, which is going to expand our capacity a little bit as well. But yes, we absolutely encourage folks to get their regular care, make sure they're getting their usual screening that they're supposed to be getting based on the recommendations of their primary care physician, whether that be colonoscopies, mammograms, vaccinations, et cetera. All of that stuff needs to still continue.
Good point. And I wanted to ask you, too, about some of the stories we're seeing out of Los Angeles and Southern California, and certainly a big increase in COVID cases there, and that directive to some of the ambulance services that were saying not to transport patients if they didn't think they could be saved at the hospital. Obviously, we're not at that level at all in our area, but as a caregiver, that's just got to be unfathomable that you would put out a policy like that to your frontline medical workers. Can you imagine?
I cannot imagine, as a physician, I could not imagine putting that directive out. No, I couldn't. You would have to be really in dire straits if you were going to put that kind of directive out. So we've never considered it. We've never talked about that. We've never been close to any of that kind of circumstance here in San Juan County.
Good to know.
Good to know. Yeah, so sort of a follow-up on that is regarding visitor policy, because that's ebbed and flowed with the situation as well. What is the updated visitor policy now?
So I would have to direct you to our website. Yes, it does change, and it changes periodically depending on what the level of COVID cases that we're seeing. In-house, of course, we still, for pediatric patients, parents can visit. For newborn deliveries, there are differences in visitation. But for the COVID floors especially, there are some restrictions because we really don't want to endanger visitors. We don't want to endanger staff members, et cetera. So I would direct people to our website to see what the most current is, because it does change periodically. In fact, I think we've got a meeting later this afternoon to talk about that very subject.
Gotcha. Interesting. Well, it does change, and so the website's probably the most up-to-date place to go if things are changing minute by minute, which they could very well be in these situations. I wanted to ask you, too, Dr. Underwood, about the vaccine that is out and being distributed to frontline workers and healthcare workers, and there's a specific order that the state is trying to get this vaccine into people's arms, of course. But folks shouldn't be calling the hospital to try to get an appointment to get a vaccine, right? They should go through the state's website that's been set up to kind of manage this, correct?
That is absolutely accurate. The website is vaccinenm.org with no spaces between them. And it really is a place where you can register. We registered my wife, for example, through that website. And you register, and it will put you into the appropriate categories based on the priorities in the supplies that are available. You know, frontline health caregivers are the first people that are on that list, and it's broken into kind of sustainability of what we are trying to do to fight the infection. And the other is those that are the higher risk of people, if they get it, would be more medically impacted. So long-term healthcare residents, people that live in nursing homes, they're in one of the top priorities. And then as you go down, then phase 1B, that is what we call phase 1A. And then 1B is broken into frontline essential workers and people 75 years and older. Again, looking at it in two different phases. One is sustainability of the operations and taking care of the pandemic versus looking at those people who are at greater risk of a significant medical impact. And it works its way down through the system that way, trying to make sure that we can still continue the fight. Obviously, if we have a slew of emergency department nurses, for example, who end up on quarantine, that would greatly affect our ability to care for the other COVID patients. That's why they're high on the priority list. Likewise, elderly people, as we know, are at higher risk of having a more significant clinical response to the COVID-19 infection.
Sure. And I want to go science nerd here a bit, because I like to take every opportunity I get for that.
Hang on, everybody. Here we go. Buckle up.
Buckle up. So, I want to talk about these variant strands we saw in England and then in South Africa. They've both had different types of strands. Actually, there's multiple, it seems. And so,
Colorado. You see it in a couple states here.
Yeah. So can you give us a little bit of insight into that?
Yep, so I can, and thanks for the question. So Brazil also has now identified another variant in the strand, and these are variations in the sequence. If you remember, we've talked about previously, so these are RNA essentially is what codes for the spike protein. Spike protein is what binds to part of your body, primarily angiotensin converting enzyme receptor. And that's what we're targeting with our vaccine. That's how your immune system seems to be responding to it. In the UK, and yes, there's been one case in Colorado, at least one that I know of that has been documented, that was the UK strain. There is a single RNA nucleotide that is out of sequence, but it still binds to the angiotensin-converting enzyme receptor. In South Africa, there are three nucleotides that are mutated in that particular variant. Now, one of the things that they're finding is it seems to spread faster or has a higher propensity for spread, and they don't really know why yet. So I have said before that science is an accumulation of data over time, and so we need to accumulate more data, and we certainly need more time to analyze that data so we understand what it really means. So I do not know in terms of the Brazil variant what that mutation is, but that's what we're seeing between South Africa and the United Kingdom.
And Dr. Underwood, there's still some pretty good science and agreements in the scientific community that the vaccines that have been developed and that are being rolled out should still be effective against some of these variants of the original COVID infection, the COVID virus, correct?
So what we are hearing is that the science is saying that that is probably and relatively assured to be the truth, yes, that it should still work with that particular one. I did read an article just yesterday that was talking about a possible decrease in the efficacy of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Now, remember, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that is coming out is actually based off of the old methodology that we use for vaccine development, and that is to grow the virus and then develop an immunological response based on the real virus, which is attenuated or broken down in some way. Only that one was implicated in this article as possibly decreasing how effective that virus or that vaccine may be against the new strain. I did not see anything about the mRNA vaccinations and showing those to have any level of decreased efficacy.
And those are the vaccines that are currently being distributed, not the Johnson & Johnson, to my understanding.
Correct. And so what you will often hear is Pfizer, and these are just the drug companies that made them.
Right.
So the Pfizer vaccine was the first one that has come out. We are now entering into week four of administering the Pfizer vaccination here at the hospital. Moderna is the other company that is also an mRNA vaccination, and it is being distributed and administered in a number of places already. As a matter of fact, I know Walmart. Through the website that we just talked about, where you can go in and register, they have started to administer that vaccination, the Moderna vaccination, to those that qualify based on their priority group.
Very good. Well, as always, Dr. Underwood, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, and you're very articulate, so thanks.
We appreciate that, yes, indeed.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to point out one other thing is we do have a monoclonal antibody clinic that we're running. That's another type of therapy. We're doing that three times a week. That the end point of that treatment is to prevent hospitalization. And so if someone has COVID and they meet the requirements, talk to your primary care physician, because that is something that you can come in, get an IV infusion, and there's a statistical reduction of requirement for hospitalization. People that meet those requirements, primarily it's people with comorbidities, other types of illness, or age that would qualify for the monoclonal antibody therapy. And Megan, sometime off the air, we can talk about how monoclonal antibodies work, because it would thrill you in your nerding out of the physiology and immunogenicity of how this works.
What a tease.
She's already there.
Yeah, I'll be like sending you an email immediately after this.
That sounds great. And once again, I have to, you know, give my kudos to the entirety of our community, the teamwork of our healthcare professionals, you know, at our hospital, with our EMS services, police, fire, the team across the entire of our community has just had an incredible response. We could not ask for more. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else fighting this kind of battle.
Well, I think it's a good point, and we appreciate all their work and yours as well, Dr. Underwood, all your folks on the front lines. Thank you for keeping us all safe, and we appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Happy New Year, both of you.
Thank you. That is Dr. Robert Underwood from Sammamon Regional Medical Center joining us on our COVID-19 Community Information Program. Lots of good information.
Par usual.
From Dr. Underwood. So.
Yeah, they always do a good job.
And you'll get to nerd out.
Yes.
So how about that?
I'm super excited that now there's like a rep going on over there. Like I have a rep mutation.
Yes, yes you do. You had one before, but maybe now it's a little different.
Yeah.
How's that?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, but enjoy that.
I will enjoy that.
Yes. I think
monoclonal.
Interesting. So there you go.
Excited.
We want to share, again, some of the numbers with you as we continue on with the program this morning. Again, in New Mexico, we are approaching 150,000 COVID-19 cases in our state since March. Latest from yesterday was 1,496 new cases. Of that, there were 154 new cases in San Juan County. So we're totaling now over 10,000, 10,877. 47 additional deaths in our state, which is high. And two of those were in San Juan County. So now that number is above 300. And additional 1,300 recoveries. And that number is now 72,089 recoveries.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers are there, and they continue to go up. We're hoping to get them down again because we want to get out of the red zone into
go to the green.
Yellow zone and eventually the green zone, or jump right to green. That would be great. You know,
wouldn't
we'll
it?
Look at that in a minute. Other news stories, again, on our website, ksje.com/news. Again, the in-depth numbers are there from the state, the Navajo Nation, again, to just kind of share those with you. If you can't read them off the screen, again, they had another 222 cases across the Navajo Nation yesterday. We update that daily, by the way. Total of 24,247, 838 deaths now on the reservation. That's an increase of one from Wednesday, and 12,597 individuals have recovered on the Navajo Nation. So there is that number as well.
Very good.
So we want to share that with everybody. Here are the weekly cases that are compiled by San Juan County. So again, we always like to share that. Again, the pink line is New Mexico. The average cases in New Mexico, the blue line, San Juan County. And then the green line on this graph is the Navajo Nation. So obviously we can see the state has much larger cases. We can see that the spike right there, that would have been around Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. but we went back into that two-week reset, if you'll recall.
Right.
Did seem to work, and the cases dropped off very quickly after that, and now they're kind of trending back up. So I know state officials are concerned a little bit about that, so we'll keep an eye on that in New Mexico and San Juan County and the Navajo Nation. Those two lines at the bottom, we were kind of trending down, and our numbers are also trending a little bit back up, so we're concerned about that as well.
Right.
So they're certainly nowhere near where they were earlier over the summer. And that is another concern, as we can see in this graph. And so, again, these are some of the other cases that we're looking at across the county. And the yellow line are cases in San Juan County. The blue line are deaths in the county. And then the red line is the goal to allow us out of the red zone, if you will. So if you can see that red line going across the bottom.
I was gonna say, the goal is a plateau.
Well, right. That's we have to be below that line
right.
to reopen
right.
more. And that's where we were over the summer. You can see where that yellow line was lower than the red line over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went up. And so this is kind of where we are. And so the averages were not where we were at the peak of 1,116 cases per week, but we're now at 915. So still not where we need to be at.
No.
I think it's like 89
right.
is what the red line describes.
Right.
So that's... what that is showing us.
Yeah, we got a long way to go.
We do. We do indeed. Here's the map of the state. You can see everybody, but Catron County is in red.
Is in yellow.
Catron County is in yellow. Everybody
right.
else is in red.
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
What's in Catron County? Like, is there a city? So,
yes,
usually our yellows,
probably.
Of course, notably and obviously and...
I'm sure our viewers will tell us what is in Catron
County.
That's
true, but, you know.
But
I'm just saying that if there's...
I have not been to Catron County. I
me
should
neither.
Go there maybe one of these days.
Well,
we could travel.
Mean, you know, yeah, let's road trip.
Yeah.
But my assumption is when you have just a amount, you know, just some herds of sheep in your county...
Well, it's not very populated. I'll give you that.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll give you that. But Reserve is the county seat of Catron County, the
okay.
community of Reserve.
All right.
And its population is 3,725, according to the mighty Google.
All right. Thanks, Google.
So there you go.
The dispute resolutor is what I call
there
Google.
There it is. There you are. San Juan County, of course, we are still in the red, and I can share those numbers with you again from 12/15, December 15th through the December 28th. Our positivity rate is still at 19.46%.
That's high.
That's high.
Yeah.
And so we are one of the highest in the state, unfortunately, for that. And that is why folks are so concerned, obviously, about our numbers. And that's why they're not going down, because it's still spreading pretty rapidly here and to a lot of people. So there is that. The other thing we want to remind you about is the watch list, of course, that the Environment Department publishes every day. The map is updated every 2 weeks that we just showed you. This is updated every day. So the latest rapid responses are on this page right here. PMS, Total Behavioral Health, has 3 rapid responses. The Safeway in Aztec has 2. Farmington Albertsons has 2. The Sam's Club in Farmington has 2. Smith's in Farmington has 2. The Walmart on West Main has 3. Aztec Schools Maintenance has 2. And Judy Nelson Elementary in Kirtland has 2. That's the latest off of the watch list.
Right.
And again, those are the rapid responses, not necessarily just the cases, but the numbers of times people have had to trace positive cases from those businesses.
Right, which
those
is
rapid responses.
Key.
That's different.
That's a very big difference.
Right, exactly. So that's what we wanted to share with you. And the last thing I think on our list that we'll talk more about with our next guest here in just a moment is how to register for the vaccine. The state has now kind of enhanced their registration website, vaccinenm.org. You can go on there and enter your relevant information and talk about and actually give some of your, if you have pre-existing health conditions and things like that that might move you higher up on the list, you can enter that information. And that way, when the vaccine is available for people in your group, the state will probably call to confirm that information and get you an appointment to get your COVID-19 vaccination in San Juan County. So that's the first step.
Yes.
Is to sign up for that. And with that, I think we should talk to our next guest.
We should. Let's do it.
All right. Here we go, everybody. Joining us now to talk a little bit about the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine here in San Juan County, Mike Mestis is on the telephone. He is the San Juan County Emergency Manager. Mike Mestis, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, good morning, Scott. Good morning, Megan. How are you guys today?
I'm well. I'm not
going to
speak
for
Megan, but I think she's okay.
We're just trying to remember how we do this thing because we were on holiday.
We were off for a couple of weeks.
So we
took a break, but you did not, Mike Mestis. So tell us what's been going on. How are things looking this week?
I actually took a little time off for the holidays, but as you know, the phone's always on answer, and you're never really off. But things are continuing to pick up. Things are continuing to surge, and it's up and down in San Juan County as far as our numbers go. As far as our testing sites, the curative testing site out at Judy Nelson in Kirtland is ongoing. They were only closed on New Year's Day, but they're open 7 days a week. The PCR testing, McGee Park, was just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, and the reason why is they're doing second dose vaccinations. And if you're ready, then I'll just go ahead and get into that issue.
The vaccines.
Yes. Before we do that, Mike, I do want to ask a quick question about tests, because that's, you know, for a while there it was just like nasal pharyngeal, and they've kind of, there's just a lot of them now. And so you mentioned PCR tests, and we know that we got that other more rapid one, the saliva test. Can you just break that down for us real quick?
Sure. And good point and good question, Megan, because yeah, there's a lot of info out there nowadays. So Judy Nelson and Kirtland, they're doing the saliva test where you swab the inner part of your mouth and you put the Q-tip type device into a kit, and then they send that off to the curative site for testing. And then the PCR testing, of course, is at McGee Park, and that's that evasive test where they stick the the testing kit up your nose, so that's the one people are trying to avoid. But they've had good results. I guess they're doing the rapid test at the site, the urgent care by Walmart, so that's another location, or not by Walmart, by the old Kmart, correction there. They're doing that there. And then additionally, this last week or so, there was stuff on the email and on the Department of Health website where you can send in an email and request a test kit. So I think maybe that's something that you were asking about. Was that correct, Megan?
Yes, thank you.
Perfect.
So you might know a little more because you keep up with that, and I have 100 emails coming through my office every day. But I guess the point is you request the kit, then when you get it, you get online, and they make sure that you're doing it correctly via Zoom, and then you put it back and mail it in. Is that what you understand?
Yes, yes.
So yeah, you know as much as I know, and I listen to your guys' show to try to get stuff that I don't know just so I can keep up. So thank you guys for keeping the COVID shows going and all the information that you're getting out. It's a great service to our community.
Well, you're quite welcome, Mike Mestis, and thank you for that endorsement. We appreciate that as well. But you mentioned kind of setting up for the COVID vaccines, and so this is something I know a lot of folks are watching and wondering about, and we certainly want to protect and vaccinate our frontline workers. And so there is kind of a method to how this is all going to roll out and how it is rolling out right now, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So I always start out my briefings by the picture. So the picture in San Juan County, as of last night, with our numbers, we have 10,724 positives in San Juan County, currently 302 deaths due to COVID. But the good news is that 4,729 people have reported being recovered. So with that, our big mission, our big push in emergency management this week is, again, to work with our stakeholders and our stakeholder partners on rolling out COVID vaccine. So as you well know, a few weeks ago, San Juan Regional received those first 975 doses of vaccine. And since then, the Department of Health, San Juan County, has received some doses of vaccine, and we're doing those clinics out at McGee Park. Presbyterian Medical Service has received vaccine as well, and they're distributing those out at PMS over by their Broadway, the old Broadway. It's not Broadway. It's Broadway.
The old American Plaza. That's probably what you're referring to, right, Mike Mestis?
Broadway Plaza, the old American Furniture. So they're doing those there as well. And then the good news is Walmart. Walmart jumped on board. That was surprising. Walmart pharmacies jumped on board with initial 1,000 doses on the West End, and then just last week, 500 doses on the East End. So those are our partners in the vaccine distribution, and so we're very happy here in San Juan County to have those partners working with us. And as you know, the emergency management office is that coordinating office agency that helps get this all organized. So with that, we don't just go willy-nilly on, oh, you get a vaccine. We don't do the Oprah. We don't do the Oprah Winfrey method there, Megan. You get a vaccine, you get one. So we follow guidance from the CDC, and the Department of Health has extended that guidance through Phase 1A, is what the Department of Health is calling it. And so the first doses of vaccine go to Phase 1A. Those are the healthcare workers, all hospital personnel, and direct patient care. The next phase, or the next portion of that, is people providing direct medical care. So that's family practice, behavioral health, specialty practices, dialysis, public health offices, dental, optometry. And then the next phase is residents working in nursing homes. So instead of having those people go, those residents in nursing homes having to go out, Scott, Megan, to these sites, we've partnered with CVS and Walgreens pharmacies to bring vaccine into those agencies. So those are being done next week, from what we've been told by my weekly meetings with on the phone with those agencies. So those folks are being taken care of as well. So then we continue on to, as you see, this is a big list. And Scott, I'll send it to you on email just so that you have it.
I think we're showing you right now, Mike Mestis. We probably got a copy from the Department of Health, but keep going.
Hey, home health care, hospice, workers and people going under chemotherapy, my wife's office over at the cancer center, the autopsy staff, coroners, embalmers, and the list just goes on. First responders are a big category, fire departments, law enforcement who does medical transports to the ER, and our congregate care facilities. As you see, we got to get through that big 1A phase before we can move on to 1B. And 1B is that phase where we get to the essential worker, the transportation sector, the education sector, energy, wastewater, and the rest of law enforcement. So we hope to move to 1B, and the rumor has it today at 3 o'clock when the secretary speaks. Or last night, rather, when the secretary speaks or will speak, that we'll go to 1B. So we'll stand by on that as well. So yeah. We definitely want to move forward. We want definitely to get people vaccinated, and just keep moving forward with the vaccine in San Juan County and getting people their doses.
Yeah, that's incredible. Questions? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, any questions up to now?
Yeah, so first of all, I appreciate that you knew that I would appreciate the Oprah joke, so thank you for that. same wavelength. And then also, you know, we've definitely seen people already pre-registering, so folks that are not in one and like B, A and B categories, maybe they're further down the list, they're sort of not working in those settings, are already registering to be called upon, right?
That is correct. So the state of New Mexico rolled out that portal vaccine. Do you have it in front of you, Scott?
Yeah, we sure do, Mike. It's the vaccinenm.org.
Vaccinenm.org. So you get on that site, you register, and so whenever your phase is ready, they'll send you a code to make an appointment, and then you're ready to go. So that's our big push. We've sent that link out to our JIC, to our PIOs, and ask them to mass produce that out on our social media and asking people to sign up. And that will help us tremendously because during the 1A phase, that portal wasn't ready to go, and we were just having to get into the old phone book, as it will, and call different offices. And for instance, we were calling a doctor's office, and they're like, emergency management, who are you? No. So they were kind of hesitant to give us any information. And all along, we were just trying to help them obtain a vaccine. So with them signing up, it'll sure help speed up the process.
And Mike, just to be clear, this website, it's open right now, as we've mentioned, vaccinenm.org, for folks to go on. If they want to get the vaccine, this is what the state is going to be drawing from, this database of names and contact information, to let folks know when you get to their part of the list, right? Or to kind of clarify where they would go and whether it's 1A, 1B, C, D, 2, 3, whatever it is, right?
Yes, Scott, that's correct. So they sign up on that state portal, and then they put in their information. Our local Department of Health will have access to that, to the names in San Juan County, and then the site will classify them into what phase that they're in. So whenever we get to that phase, in conjunction with our office, we'll contact them, or they'll get a contact through an email or a text message saying it's time for your appointment, make your appointment, and then come on in. So they'll be contacted. So again, to reiterate, that's the best site to get on, register, so that helps us help you.
Yeah, very good. Well, Mike Mestis, as always, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And as always, thank you for all of your hard work out there. We so appreciate the way that the community is coming together to keep us all safe and healthy. So thank you.
Thank you, Megan. And again, thank you guys for all that you do to help get the message out and continuing to keep this relevant for our community.
You bet. Thank you, Mike. That is Mike Mestis from the San Juan County Office of Emergency Management on our COVID-19 Community Information Program. Good information, again.
Yes, very good information.
On the vaccine.
I believe that you have registered online for
your
vaccine. I
did register online.
Very good.
I don't know when I'll get the vaccine, when they'll get down to my
area. When they get to
area,
you, I guess.
You know, elderly broadcaster like, category. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Where that is, but yes, and it was very easy. So I would, if you want the vaccine, I would assume that's the way to do it, is to get on there. Now, the first, I had to register twice, I'll say, or add to my registration, because the first time I registered, I got an email back from the State Health Department that said, "Dear Undefined, thank you for registering." So I'm like, I don't think
Undefined.
That went through, because they don't have my name. So anyway, we fixed that.
Dear Undefined.
Now they know. It's Scott.
Although maybe that's your tactic, is like, oh yeah, I'm undefined. Here's my registration,
and then, right,
and then they won't know.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. But anyway, but they've improved it, so I think it's working a lot better than the first time I went on.
Good.
Maybe in December. So that's what I
excellent.
Will say. Yeah.
Well, so, good. Good
there
job.
There you go. But
good
I would encourage everyone to do that if they want to get the vaccine. And there are some folks that do, and some folks that are going to choose not to, I guess.
I guess, but I'm pro-vaccine.
Yes, because you've already gotten your vaccine because of your other job.
Correct.
With Basin Home Health, and so you didn't have any odd effects or anything, as far as I know.
I did
you're
not.
You're about to get your second dose
I'm getting
soon.
My second dose on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, right. Hospice was part of that first wave that Mike talked about.
That's
home
right.
Health and hospice. And, no, I didn't have any problems.
Good.
With the first round. We'll see about the second round.
No arm soreness or anything?
Well, I had a lot of arm soreness. I don't know why that didn't fall into problems. But, I mean, I guess it was
well,
sore
I think
for a day.
Well, that's typical of a vaccine, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, anytime I get the flu shot, it's a little sore. This was definitely a pretty – this was a significant sore, but it was only –
A day.
And you like it's not a big deal, but
good.
So, and you know, it should be stated that when we talk about adverse reactions, in the vaccine there is not a live virus, as Dr. Underwood stated.
That's
it's
right.
An mRNA, it's a cutting edge technology thing. So if you do get a runny nose, whatever, it's not COVID. You haven't gotten COVID. There is no live virus in it. So it's not like some old school vaccines we have had in the past.
That's a good point.
Just want to make that clear.
That's a good point.
And for those who are saying they don't know what's in it, not true. You get a printout that says ingredients, and it lists them all right there.
Well, there you go.
So this is not a mystery.
Okay. Good to know. Well, there you go.
Pop-Tarts, on the other hand, I still don't know what I'm putting in my body.
Well, there you go. The toaster will kill whatever is bad in there.
Yeah,
anyway,
exactly.
So don't worry about it.
No adverse reactions yet.
From Pop-Tarts or the vaccine.
Right.
Good to know.
So there,
all right.
I
excellent.
Mean, what a lucky woman.
That's
I am.
Good. Well, very good. All right. Well, I think we're about wrapped up today. We're going to make one more point.
I think so.
This morning.
Do we want to talk about some rumblings, some controversy in our beloved town?
You do.
I do.
Well,
I think this is great because we have slightly different opinions, but we are amicable and cheery and nice. So
you were concerned.
I was concerned because the city before
Farmington.
The city of Farmington very I think it was either the day before Christmas Eve or Christmas Eve it was or something in that week
Christmas I think it was
that week
mm-hmm.
Put out a post that said we're taking a break on reporting about the COVID-19 virus because it's been a rough year, it's the holidays, let's focus on other things. And so
we're taking a break for 2 days.
2 days?
Christmas Eve and Christmas, I think.
There you go. Christmas Eve and Christmas
right.
Day.
Okay.
So, so my take on that is I appreciate that thought. However, it's the city of Farmington, and there's a responsibility when it comes to something as serious as the current crisis we're in. So that's my thought.
Got it.
But you had a slightly different one.
Well, I just, we took a break too. So if we're going to get on the city of Farmington for taking a break for 2 days, we took a break for 2 weeks.
Didn't we continuously update our website though?
We did do that.
Yeah.
We continued to do that. We just didn't do the radio show for 2 weeks. So I don't want to be too sanctimonious because, we took a break.
That's me, sanctimonious Megan.
I thought if they needed a break for 2 days, I'll give it to them. But they took a lot of heat on Facebook, and it is the city, and you would expect that maybe they have higher goals or maybe a higher standard to give public information, and that's what we turn to. And so I think a lot of folks thought they were maybe neglecting their duty to share information over those 2 days.
Yeah, well, and, you know, look, like, it is a constant balance. I'm a fan of seeking out perspective, zooming out to a fuller picture, finding optimism within us. I'm a fan of that. But it's a tough balance for sure. You know?
I think it is. And we saw that in the posts.
I think we saw in
the comments.
Nobody,
you know, was negative on our social media. I mean, we appreciate.
We continuously updated the website. And we also didn't say we're taking a break because we wanted to focus on tidings of comfort and joy over the situation. So we were just like under the radar. We didn't make it public that
we still share everything.
We disappeared off into the night.
We shared COVID information and we did a Christmas Carol radio drama over Christmas.
We did.
And so, you know,
that was fun.
We were doing a couple of different things. Yeah. But we wanted to make that point.
We appreciate
the city. We appreciate the information that they share. We appreciate the guests from the city that come on this program and the station. So,
Of the mayor, huge fan of the public information officers. I mean, this is not a knock against our beloved friends and guests, but
you wanted to make a point.
I did want to make a point only because it was a point that others were making. And so I felt like it was appropriate for the show.
All right. There you go.
Okay. But thanks, city, for your continued efforts. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
But I think that brings us to the end of this show. Again, we're on Thursdays, everybody. So please share it with your friends, with your neighbors. It's helpful information, we hope. If you disagree, you can make a comment and let us know.
Yes.
For sure. But we'll be back next week with more information, more guests. And this is our new schedule on Thursdays, 9 a.m. live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Noon on KNMI, Vertical Radio, continuing that partnership into the new year. And then at 5:06 p.m. right here on KSJE.
On the radio.
On the radio.
Yep.
So there you go. I want to show off my mask.
I think you should. Away. You keep grabbing it, and I've told you since you got this to show it off. So
you've mentioned it.
Let's end on this note.
Exactly.
Is it going to go over your headphones?
Probably not.
Okay. So
that's why I have to put you on camera while I set up over here. There you go.
Guys.
Exactly. Is it working?
Oh, my gosh.
Is it stupid?
It is. Okay.
Wear your mask, everybody. There you go.
So the key is it follows your, when you talk or move your lips.
Something's happening. I guess.
Yeah. No, it's like...
As much as you can have.
Yeah.
You know.
It's kind of like a poor dubbing.
Yeah.
Like if you were watching Telemundo and they dubbed
Japanese
it into English. Exactly.
So, there you go.
But still, it's cool and weird.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going for.
I know.
Cool and weird.
You can't help it when you see something online that's cool and weird. You're
it
like,
was an
take
impulse
the
buy.
Money.
Impulse buy. All right, everybody. Cool. Have a great week. Stay safe. Bye-bye.